Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to another segment of Life Transparent. Today, we're talking about hurting people hurt people while they are hurting. A lot of times, we can lay stuff dormant and put it in the back of us. How many of us know that pain brings infliction? Spell it out. N-fliction. Something that's happened internally. Fear, unforgiveness, dismissed pain in our lives. It comes back when we least expect it. Let's break its control in our lives. Pick up the mirror now and let's be transparent. So I welcome you again to another segment here of Life Transparent. I'm excited about the growth that we are experiencing here during this broadcast. I really want to thank everyone for listening to the broadcast. The numbers are going up and up and up, and I'm just so excited that you are being blessed and being a part of this broadcast. I look forward to the healing testimonies of how you were brought to the light. You went through the darkness, you found the key, you stuck it in that chest of your life, and you opened it up so that you can be free. So it's so many things that I've wanted to deal with. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning and I begin to hear all kinds of things that I want to share on the broadcast, but I heard about hurting people. That's what came to the forefront. Hurting people. We hurt people when we don't deal with the issues in our lives. Remember, issue is at the head of the table. We can't be afraid to come in the room. We cannot be afraid to approach the table, and we cannot be afraid any longer to sit down face-to-face with the issues that are in our lives. So I created a few notes that says hurting people hurt people. We don't want to dismiss pain in our lives, undefined, unexplained, unnoticed, dismissed, hurt. All of these things, a lot of times we carry things from our childhood, things that we didn't understand. I like to call it unfinished business, unfinished business, unfinished emotions, unfinished lack of understanding. I told you I was going to be transparent on this broadcast. So great or small, hurt is still hurt. Hurt begets shame. Because we live in a world where everyone just looks like they're okay. You ever just look around and everyone just looks like they're okay? Well, I want to say this. Everything is not okay. So we don't want to mirror our lives or choose how we live our lives based off the lie or the facade that we see in other people. A lot of times, if you look really close, you can see the pain in successful people's lives. Some of them, not everybody. And another thing I wanted to talk about, too, is I know that this is a Christian broadcast and a Christian station since February the 9th, 2009. Praise God for that. But we cannot be effective Christians if we don't deal with the issues in our lives. I had a case study. I'm in school, and I had a case study with a hospice client. This client wanted to die. He had a living will in place. He had his advanced directives. He had everything that he needed, and he said, "Don't tell my family." They decide in the writing not to tell the family, yet the family is still coming to visit. He said, "In my passing, do not notify my family." Okay, so he has this sister. She comes in and said, "It's a sin to let him die without telling the family. And we grew up in church like this and grew up in church like that." And I used to get offended when I used to work in a psychiatric rehabilitation center as a case manager, and I would hear them say, that the clients there that had a religious background would be called hypo-religion. Now, what is hypo-religion? When we begin to take our fears and things that we don't understand and things that don't make us feel good and things that seems out of place for us, we tend to hide behind religion. All of a sudden, we got all these beliefs. All of a sudden, we got all these traditions, spiritual traditions. All of a sudden, we're all of these things when pain comes in our lives. I've been there. I have been there. I'm at a stage in my life where I am no longer hiding behind the book. I'm no longer hiding behind the cloth. I'm no longer hiding behind ministry. Guess what? If Connie doesn't come out, I can't be effective religious, spiritual, in the book, in ministry. I can't be effective. Because when you work with people, there's always going to be somebody that's going to press that nerve. And that nerve may bring up something that happened to me when I was 2 years old, and the pain of it is still there. So I have to be healed. I have to come to grips. I can't. Some things we talked about in the introduction of the segment: undefined, unexplained, unnoticed, dismissed, hurt. If you are a person that's very, very sensitive in your life right now, somebody didn't show sensitivity to you growing up. I just believe that. I believe that you were dismissed. I believe you were undefined. And some of the issues in your life were unexplained. So therefore, every little thing somebody does now becomes a pin sticking in your skin. I didn't mean to make that rhyme. There is no hiding place for the hurting. A painful life speaks in the silence, in the bustles of the day. It, if not choked by a suppressant or alcohol or sex or whatever your addiction may have become to suppress hurt, it awakes your consciousness. Pain awakes your consciousness. So it behooves us to take baby steps. I wouldn't say take 10 full steps all at one time when there are issues in your life that are so sensitive they can almost drive you off the edge. I don't want you to drive off the edge. I want you to walk to the edge. Take your time and walk to the edge and watch God spread out his hand so that you can cross over into the light and be free of that pain that was inflicted in your life. I'm going to share something. I'm going to be transparent. I have markings, bruises, or not bruises, well, they're not bruises. I guess a bruise would mean it's still active. But I have marks on my body that are unexplained. I used to have these dreams of things that had happened to me in the areas of my body where these bruises are, or these markings are. I am scarred for the rest of my life across my shoulder. By the time I was in my 40s, I went to the doctor. I asked them what they thought this was, and I told him that I was told as a child that this came from a vaccination infection, and he said, no. That couldn't have come from that. That you had to have been either stabbed, cut, or burned. Something internal brought this mark out on your body. Vaccinations don't do that. It's just a small needle pal. Okay? So that was unexplained pain, undefined marks. I have a marking on my left hand, which actually is on my hand, the same hand, and the left upper shoulder. This thing used to have me looking like Hunchback until I started going to have a keloid so bad. So this mark is there on my body for the rest of my days. And I went to my mother and I asked her, where did this come from? I said, I'm at the doctor's office and I need you to explain to me what these markings are on my body. She says to me, listen to this, she dismissed the pain that will come back up in her and dismissed the pain that was happening to me in the moment. That doctor is crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Get out of there. He crazy. I've never been one of her children that she can talk to like that, because I've always been the type of child, I want to know what's going on. I'm going to investigate. So one of the things that I wanted to bring to the forefront was closure. Closure, closure, closure. I have a friend who's, I don't know if they were married or living, just living together, however, he died. He abused her. He did this to her. He did that to her. And he died. And she didn't have closure in the relationship. So for years, she was trapped in the death of a man that abused her, that controlled her, that stalked her, that did all of these issues to her. She felt that she never got a chance to tell him she was sorry. So she lived trapped all of these years without closure. So I want to say to you today, we're not all going to receive closure. For some of us, closure may never come. So in this case, we need to find a coping process called forgiveness, forgiving them, forgiving self, not denying them, but having a self, but having a willingness to be free. We can't dig a person up. We can't go sit at their grave and expect closure to apologize in a way, because you won't get it. You can express, you can journal, you can pray, you can cry, but you will not bring that person back to give you what you need. I can say that because I've been there with my mother. So what I learned to do, and this really has a lot to do with this broadcast, I learned to sort out those feelings that were dismissed, the pain that was dismissed, the undefined, unexplained, unnoticed, dismissed hurt. I learned to sort through it, and I pick and chose what I needed healing from first. I couldn't get it from my sisters. I couldn't get it from my brothers. That was something that Connie had to decide that she wanted to do. I can look in the mirror and see these marks on my body for the rest of my days, and it would never, ever be actually said what happened. All I have is the dreams that would come every once in a while in my life to kind of give me some insight on what happened. And through prayer and time with the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to me what had happened. So as I thought through the process, I began to forgive my mother and all parties involved. I realized that I couldn't change what had happened. But I do realize that I had to forgive myself for carrying all that pain in my heart all those years. I was in my 40s by the time I really got some understanding that I was never going to get closure. So for some of us, closure will never come. We have to come to that table with that issue, look it straight in the eye, and let it know, I will no longer be bound by you. You will no longer control my life. Yes, you may see the scars. You may see the bruises. You may even still have some pain in your heart, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to filter, because crying brings a release that is unexplainable. So cry and write and forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's a process. So the process is first saying, I know in my life. That's the first thing. I know whatever my part was, I take ownership of my part. And I forgive myself for my part. And if that person that your part affected is still alive, write a letter. Have lunch. Send a text. Make a phone call, but reach out. Reach out. Forgive yourself for allowing yourself, for beating up on yourself, for sanctioning yourself, for not allowing yourself to live this one life that we have. I don't know about you on today, but I don't want to live the rest of my days in pain. All the good that I do, all the love that I try to give, it's barely reciprocated. Continue to love. I continue to press forward. I spend a lot of my time alone. I spend a lot of my time quiet. And you would think with alone and a quiet life that you still would have agitation, issues, drama. Still got it. Because we have to live in a world with people. Therefore, I have to pick and choose my battles, my drama, my issues. Currently, I can honestly say I have no heart in my heart towards anybody. Anybody. You all have often, over the years, heard me tell the testimony of the things that have happened to my daughter. And I think that you would think that a murderer, somebody that murders a loved one, is like the worst thing that can be done. But what about when your child lives through the trauma of what she went through? And I was able to forgive him in the process. So the process is, it's okay to hurt, but it's even better to work through it and come out of it. That's our time here at Life Transparent. I do look forward to spending time with you all on Thursday. I hope and I know that you were blessed. And I pray that this will be another light on another step to bring you forward. God bless. Things